So where are you going to vacation this summer? More and more people are choosing to stretch beyond the traditional themes, the beach, camping, theme parks, and trying things that challenge them physically, mentally, and emotionally. This month, members of the Adventure Travel Trade Association held their annual conference in Coeur d'Alene to talk about the changes in their industry. The organization's strategic director for North America is Russell Walters. He says adventure travel is no longer just for the fittest of the fit.
You know, 10 years ago, adventure travel was sort of defined as risky, exciting. It might have focused on, you know, real hardcore energetic activities. And today, the adventure traveler wants to sort of have a more immersive experience. They want to, you know, travel to this place to recreate. They want to travel to this place to be active. But they also want to travel to understand and learn about different cultures. So there's been a maturing, I think, of the adventure travel market, which in and of itself has helped to sort of broaden the appeal and broaden the growth of the market.
What are the challenges in adventure travel right now?
Capacity. Make sure that we don't have too many people in any one location. That we're preparing our adventurers and the communities appropriately so that, you know, people are well prepared and well versed when they go out and experience landscapes, destinations, different cultures.
Russell Walters is the strategic director for North America for the Adventure Travel Trade Association. One subset of adventure travel is indigenous tourism. That's travel to areas owned or traditionally occupied by indigenous people. Danae Sinclair will tell us more about that. She is the marketing director for the Aboriginal Tourism Association of Canada, which works with tour operators north of the border. She spoke at the Coeur d'Alene conference earlier this month.
Tourism can be a great opportunity for economic sovereignty in a community if it's done right. And there's certain ways to do it right. And there are some communities that have not had success. And it's interesting to look at some of those challenges that have happened. There are communities that potentially don't want to have visitors. And so we talked a little bit about maybe why that is and maybe to the ability for these tour companies to present themselves in a way that can really have an understanding of the benefit that that community wants. Because sometimes that's not just about coming there and spending your money. Sometimes the objectives of the community is about, you know, cultural sustainability or employment for the young people or, you know, language revitalization. And sometimes tourism can have a role in that, but it is up to the community to decide what that relationship could look like. So I think that, you know, the tour companies want to be able to have those kinds of beneficial relationships to both sides.
Part of that relationship involves teaching each other how to act around one another.
As a host, you want to set up that relationship to succeed. So part of, we didn't discuss it in my presentation, but part of the resources that we provide isn't just to tour operators that want to visit Indigenous communities, but also to Indigenous communities that want to look at tourism. And so what does that community need to provide in order to say, you know, our doors are open and you're welcome here? And part of that is communicating to a guest what is appropriate, what are the rules. If you're coming to our community, we ask that that you do this or you do that, or you don't do this or you don't do that. That is also part of being a good host.
Danae Sinclair says travel to Indigenous areas is not just about building amenities, trying to get people to come and spend their money, take a few pictures, and leave.
That's not the kind of travel that a lot of these companies are offering or really wanting to talk about. They're wanting to talk about those experiences that you have that really really are changing your life. And a lot of it had to do with one-on-one connections where people met someone in another country, an Indigenous person or not, but had that one-on-one connection that really changed your perspective and outlook on things.
How much do the political events, whether it be terrorism-related or just blustering by politicians, how much does that affect the area that you work in?
Certainly I think there's a movement overall in travel right now to for people looking for connections. And, researchers chalk that up to social media and, the lack of connection we have in our life. Or is it chalked up to, fear and, concern about not knowing our neighbors or not knowing who to trust. And so people are hungry for those human connections. And so that's the travel that that we're talking about here. And so I think there's a lot of things you can chalk that up to, but certainly political climate might be part of it as well.
Is there a demographic that is more or less dominant here? Is it younger people who are more involved in this? Is it baby boomers like me? Or is it a nice mix of folks?
It is a mix of folks because also in the adventure realm, there is everything from, doing more active travel to a younger person who really wants to be more on that, more physically active, or is adventure travel really just doing something outside your realm of comfort? And so something adventurous could be food related. Something adventurous could be, cultural exchange related.
You can visit the website of Sinclair's organization at aboriginalcanada.ca. And if you're looking for travel ideas, she says you can find some there, about 60 experiences across Canada.
That could be great add-ons or, standalone experiences. If you're already planning a trip to Vancouver, for example, we have a number of members in Vancouver that can maybe show you a different side of the city, because it's not, Indigenous people are not just, in remote locations in these sort of these untouched wilderness areas. That more than half the Indigenous people in Canada live in urban centers. And so that's also an important thing for people to see, that when you're visiting especially Canada and you go to a major center, there's other sides to that urban city that you can learn about and connect with.
Danae Sinclair is the marketing director for the Aboriginal Tourism Association of Canada. She spoke at a conference on adventure and Indigenous tourism in Coeur d'Alene earlier this month.